You're listening to littlepodcast.com.
Oh, are we using the new opening?
Yes.
Okay. I mean, we're going to use the new Amari Tone song?
Yes.
To bring it in? Okay.
This will be the first time they've heard it.
Okay, hold on. Okay, so this talking part we're doing right now will be after that song? Before?
We could just start over.
Yes. I just wonder if we should react to the song.
Right we're now. Bringing that back the cold open. Yes, we can react to the song.
Okay.
This week, it's 2018. Time to land our annual predictions for the coming year in video games. With the Nintendo Switch dominating the market, how have third parties responded? How are Sony and Microsoft going to respond? What trends will continue trending? And what resolutions does Famicom Dojo itself hold for the new year?
Happy New Year, Sean!
Happy New Year, Vink!
Wow, are we on the right podcast? What was that opening song?
Hey, it's the new Amari Tone song called One More Continue.
One More Continue. Mm. That seems fair. Because this is the first podcast in, almost a year.
Yeah, it's been about 10 months since we recorded one that we released, not counting the Nerd and Tie swap episode for...
That's true. For April.
Yeah, April Fool's Day.
Wow. Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, but look at it this way.
Yeah.
It's not a big loss because nothing's happened in gaming in the last
year. Nothing at all.
Hello. We should probably say something. A few months back, we recorded an episode that was in early November. We recorded an episode that was going to be our comeback episode.
Yeah. Don't call it a comeback.
Don't call it a comeback, yes. That's what we should call this episode. Anyway. Right. no. But anyway, we recorded that, and then we recorded another episode that directly referenced that first episode, because it was almost a two-parter, because we had a lot to talk about.
Oh, for sure.
But one of the things is, on that first episode we recorded, the joke was, because we needed a way to explain why we've been gone so very long. Yeah. So the joke was that we recorded something where we came in and we said, like, I think I said, "Whew, that was great. We've recorded all these podcasts or whatever, and we haven't gotten a lot of feedback from them. I wonder why." And I think the joke was, "Green means record, right?"
Yeah.
Something like that. And the joke was that we'd recorded a whole year of podcast episodes, but that they had not actually been recorded, that they got deleted.
We
thought that would be. We thought that was a pretty funny way to bring it in.
Because who would do that?
And why we're telling you this rather than letting you listen to that episode we recorded is because Sean... it's not a total loss. He recorded his audio.
Yeah, yeah. What happened was the second one got overwrote the first one.
So what happens is we have a podcast that's primarily Sean going responding to things I'm saying, and then Sean talking to dead silence. I think we should release that one anyway.
Yeah, let's just do that and see what. I mean, we did like release a garbled podcast once that was pretty much
maybe we should let the viewers see if they can create their own mashup. Like they can guess what we might have been saying. But anyway, okay. So that's why that's why, even though I posted on my Twitter a number of times recording podcasts today,
right, and nothing came out.
Nothing came out.
We weren't punking you.
this is actually the third one we recorded, but this is, but if you're hearing this now, this is the first one to come out. We're not entirely sure what to do with part two yet because it references part one a lot.
Maybe we'll redo part two. Or sorry, we'll redo part one and pretend like that's the one we're responding to. And then we'll just hope that all of the references line up still.
Okay, we'll do our best. We'll do our best.
maybe you won't notice.
I think we should still release part two before part one. I mean, this is part three. Right. Oh, man.
Right, well, let's do reverse chronology. It's like Zephyr Beeblebrox, you know, he's the youngest, and his father was Zephyr Beeblebrox 2 and his grandfather 3 and so on because of a problem with a time machine and a prophylactic. It's a long story.
Oh, man. I want to read that again. Anyway, but anyway, this whole time slip. This is starting to sound like an episode of Rick and Morty. So,
oh no,
that
didn't happen in 2017 either. There was nothing involving that was terrible and dumb and shouldn't have ever happened.
I didn't see season 3 yet.
No. Oh. I'm referring to the McDonald's sauce.
Ah, Szechuan sauce. Yes.
Rick and Morty fans aren't as smart as they think they are.
Okay.
Shots fired.
I would like to say that I enjoy Rick and Morty quite a bit. Mm-hmm. I think it is, but it can have some pretty toxic fandom. As do a lot of things that I like, such as video games. You know what I mean? So
what do you mean? Moving on.
All right.
We're off to a rip-roaring start here. What are we doing this week?
Welcome back to the Famicom Dojo podcast, all of the people who haven't deleted us because Sean didn't like Rick and Morty. So.
I love Rick and Morty. I just...
We promised that from episode 4 on, the time stream should make sense, assuming that this podcast ever comes out.
Oh, like, no. What do we do if it doesn't? Like, I literally don't know.
I don't know. I hope anybody's still listening to this because I'm guessing subscriptions kind of.
I kind of want to start over.
Kind of ran out. So,
I mean, let's not do that. Let's not worry about that. Let's just pretend like everyone is around.
Thank you, everyone.
Yes, thank you,
everyone. Did I tell you how much I love you, everyone? And oh, everyone, did you do something with your hair? Okay, I want people to feel that this is an intimate podcast.
Oh yeah, hunker down. I mean, you know, people like are usually folding their laundry or like driving to work, and it's like we're there at just these very important times of day to be part of your lives again. I mean, we missed that. We've missed you.
We have. There's been a lot that's happened, and since we're going to re-record that first podcast where we're going to pretend to be shocked by the Nintendo Switch. Let's just assume that we've already talked about this, which we have. Hold on. I've confused myself.
Oh, God.
Let's go into thoughts, predictions, and resolutions.
Okay.
Perhaps regrets. We'll go into regrets, too.
Oh.
Okay.
You can sponsor an episode of the Famicom Dojo Video Game Podcast. Just go to littlepodcast.com, find Famicom Dojo, and click the sponsor button. Check out with PayPal or a credit card, and let us know what wonderful thing we should say about you, our lovely sponsor, in this space.
Switch is on fire right now.
Oh, God, don't... put it out! Yeah. The replacement plans are...
I'm not sure about worldwide, but in Japan at least, as of this week, the Nintendo Switch has outsold the Wii U's total lifetime sales.
That's wonderful and Wii U, horrifying.
Ryu came out, 2013, 2012?
Late 2012, so it was about 5 years
yeah.
prior to writing this and 4.5 prior to the Switch's release.
And at first I was like, wow, that's pretty impressive. And sad, but I mean, but I was thinking like, wow, the Switch outsold the Wii U's lifetime sales in just a year. And then I thought, wait a minute, the Switch came out in March, so it's actually just been about 9 months.
Right. So what number is that, by the way?
In Japan, 3.3 million.
Oh no, really?
Yeah.
Oh no. So what? Worldwide it's more than that, because it was around 4 million worldwide in June.
Something like that.
I wanna say.
If we go by a tweet that's about a month old right now, but originally they were saying that Japan was 25% of Switch sales. Now, it's hard to know what the shipment. It's hard to know what the shipments were. Yeah, it's hard to know exactly what the shipments were from how it broke down this month, because it might have favored one country more heavily than another. Not sure, but if that 25% holds, it's around. It looks like they're gonna, by the time all the reports come, what was their goal for the end of the financial year was 14 million. So it looks like they're going to surpass that.
Oh, that's awesome.
And bigger news is the CEO of Nintendo actually came out and said that their goal for the next year, the next financial year, is to push 20 million units worldwide.
I mean, yeah.
And that's astounding after the tremendous failure of the Wii U. But you have to put that in a little bit of perspective, because going forward it really does look like that's going to be Nintendo's only platform.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
But anyway, so my thought is that in Japan, I want to add this, in Japan the Switch will surpass the total sales of the PlayStation 4 this year.
Wow.
Being 2018. It's halfway there already. It's selling about 3-to-1, 4-to-1 most weeks lately. Although these are Christmas weeks, so it's hard to indicate exactly if that's going to be what it's going to be going forward, but it's huge here. It shows no sign of slowing down. So I think the Switch is going to surpass the total sales of PlayStation 4 this year.
Wow. All right.
It surpassed total sales of the Xbox One day one.
So, in Japan.
In Japan.
Yeah.
Worldwide, I don't know. Europe is Sony land, you know?
Right.
America, Sony just did huge numbers with. Apparently, they did a Black Friday thing where you could get a PlayStation 4 for $199.
Where?
That's what I heard.
A regular PS4, right?
Yeah.
I have one already. Yeah, I did hear about that. Yeah.
And you know what? Nobody bought me one.
Listen, nobody. I got you Lego Dimensions last year, and have you played it yet? That's what I thought.
Moving on. Sorry, I think my microphone just kicked out for a little bit. Sorry.
I remember I gave it to your parents, and your dad's reaction was, the girls will love this.
They probably will. By the way, Sarah is becoming a master at Puyo Puyo.
No.
Puzzle game? I can't beat her anymore.
Oh God,
I can still beat her at Tetris.
Okay.
Like she's getting—I don't know. She's gonna overshadow me in gaming. I don't know. There's my prediction for 2018. My daughter will be better at gaming than me.
Oh no. Well, you know, Vink, they are what we grow beyond, or what they shoot. I screwed up.
Start again.
Well, you know, Vink, they are. Damn it. Well, you know, Vink. We are what they grow beyond.
Okay. There we go. Anyway, yes, that will be. I don't know if the Switch will ever surpass the PlayStation 4 worldwide, just because...
Ever? I guess it depends on what you count the PlayStation 4 as.
Well, I'm going to count it as right now the PlayStation 4 and the PlayStation 4 Pro. My guess is that we've got a couple years before the PlayStation 5 comes out, but my thought is the Switch being essentially mobile hardware, and if they continue with its... I think a Switch 2 might come out, as long as it's fully backwards compatible, mm-hmm. could come out pretty soon. Not pretty soon, but like, you know, I don't know if the Switch is going to be Nintendo's platform for the standard console cycle of 5, 6, 7 years, you know?
Hmm. Interesting. Okay. We'll get into that more when we talk about the 3DS.
Yeah,
I think.
We will. But, agree? Disagree?
We'll get to that when we talk about the 3DS.
No, my prediction of Switch will surpass total sales of PlayStation 4 in Japan.
Oh, yeah. no problem there.
Okay. Why don't you go for one?
Oh, man, do I have to? I don't really have any good predictions.
Okay, I'll do it.
We just discussed the 3DS, then fine. Let's go with that. I think, and it's probably not a revelation to anybody, that the 3DS's days are numbered, and those numbers will specifically run out in 2018. They released the 2DS XL in 2018, which I think is going to be the last iteration of the hardware we're going to see.
You mean like last iteration that's like a remake? Like, you're not talking about colors and stuff, right?
Right, yeah. The last like hardware refresh version.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Design,
yeah.
Whatever.
I still think they should get the 1DS out.
Oh, we really need to get that video made. That would be so good.
I know. We'll do it. We better do it soon, though, because...
Well, now that you've said it, someone else is going to do it for us.
No one's going to understand.
Actually, you know what? Fans can try it if you guys want to try and do your own 1DS video. I mean, because we'd probably encourage people to make their own 1DS games after we post that video anyway.
Yep.
So why not get a head start on us?
When I was in high school, I made a game called Duke Nukem 1D.
Have you been to those theme parks? Yeah, you were in the Dells, right? They have like these like 6D movies or whatever.
Yeah, I think they're running. Yeah. I haven't gone to see one, but like, yeah. I mean, the fourth dimension is supposed to be time, right?
Right. What they mean is VR 6.
I know.
Which is like you only have 5 senses. So what the heck are they even talking about? So whatever. So it's like a combination of like virtual reality dimensions plus 3 spatial dimensions. It's very confusing. I think that just means VR 3 or 4. VR 3, I think. Did it ever watch VR 5?
No.
It's a TV show in the 90s.
No, I didn't.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
Was it good?
This is important. I have to go off on this tangent.
All right. Oh, God. Okay, go ahead.
Yes, I enjoyed it very much. It was about this girl named Sydney and her friend who lives on the roof of her apartment building. I don't know why, but he's very he was like a hipster before it was cool to be a hipster, right? So he was like a legit hipster.
Is this a sci-fi version of Clarissa Explains It All?
No. So, okay. Like, her dad was involved in, like, this like, experimental stuff. And she has all these memories of, like, him being kidnapped or something happening, like, this one night. And she's trying to get it all figured out. And she discovers that she can, like, warp into the brains of people using this ridiculous... Like, she can... call them on like a telephone, like a landline, right? So think of like that old receiver, that traditional uh-huh. hook-shaped receiver. They stick it into like a modem adapter, basically, for the computer, and she can jump into their brains, basically.
Okay.
And it's called VR5 because it's like a virtual reality simulator where she can manipulate.
I remember the ads for it, but didn't it like make it like didn't it get canceled in its first season?
I think that's probably right.
All right.
I loved this show, though, and they eventually explained a whole bunch of stuff about what was happening and why her friend seems to want to live on her roof and things like that. But, they did the best job explaining what virtual reality was, even if it wasn't really virtual reality on the show. But anyway, VR was a big thing in the 90s, and the fact it's coming around again almost 30 years later is making me kind of go, oh, ho-hum. I'm going with this. Because I could use that as a transition to a VR prediction, but I'm still talking about 3DS, aren't I?
Transition, and then we'll come back. It worked for the podcast.
People want to hear about the 3DS prediction.
All right.
The 2DS proves that the gimmicky part of the 3DS was never really of interest to anybody.
I thought it was super cool for the 10 minutes I ever used it.
Fair enough. But I think it's mostly because it was a gimmick and there wasn't a lot to add to the gameplay. The one thing I will say briefly now, and we'll come back to in a later episode this year, prediction.
Okay.
We'll come back to it. I kind of like how they're using it in Samus Returns, because it's a 2D side scroller and there's like a lot of 2.5D stuff going on, and it's neat when it's flat in 2D. But like the depth you get with the 3D of those backgrounds is just really something. I think it's the best use of 3D, with the caveat that it's confusing for people who are used to playing real 3D games that you can't actually traverse the game in 3D.
Yeah.
But
I should get that.
You should
I
get
really
that.
Should get, it, I really should
is,
get that game.
It is a good Metroid game, and if you don't have it by the time that I talk about it again, I will probably convince you.
Okay. I mean, it doesn't take a lot of convincing for me to buy a Metroid. Well, I don't know. After, I don't know, Federation Forces.
Oh.
That was a misstep.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah, everybody did.
That reminds me of another prediction. But this is my long-winded way of saying that basically, except for the dual screen thing, the Switch does everything that the 3DS can do, but better. And so there's basically no reason to support it anymore. Plus the fact that, at least for me, I'm having a ton of trouble hardware-wise with my 3DS, and I just bought a new battery for it, which might make its way into a video before too long.
Oh, great. Great. Batteries. That is something I'm very worried about right now with new systems. Because at least with the Wii U and the 3DS, you could replace the batteries fairly easily. But starting with the Switch, it's more like an iPhone. Like, I suppose you can replace the batteries yourself, but it's not done in a way that it's meant to be user replaceable.
Right, which is the same thing with the 2DS XL, as it turns out, which upsets me, honestly, because...
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. That's what I found out when I went online to look up replacement batteries, because I know you could do it. In fact, I knew that you could do it, that the... The battery in a Wii U Pro controller is the same as a 3DS battery.
Yeah,
so
that's
like,
what I've
oh,
heard.
Oh, good.
That's what I've heard,
but it's a regular 3DS battery, and I have a 3DS XL.
Ah.
They are different. Yeah. They are not only different sizes, but like totally different model numbers, which I thought was weird because they're basically the same system. But anyway, that's another topic for another time. Yeah. That's kind of the same topic, right? Like, they had the original 3DS.
Yep.
Right? Then they had the 3DS XLs, and then they was the Wedge 2DS, now there's the 2DS XL. I'm not sure what all the model numbers are for that. Oh, and then there's like the new 3DS and the new 3DS XL. And
oh my goodness.
So the new 3DS is kind of, and we had a podcast about this, which we should probably link to, whether or not a new 3DS was in fact a new handheld or not.
I'm definitely in the no camp now.
Oh, for sure? Okay.
Oh, okay. Totally. Because there's only been, what, three exclusive games, only one physical?
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
So it's more like the super graphics, huh?
Yeah, that's... Wow, that's exactly what I was going to say. See this? You see, we stopped the podcast for almost a year, but we're still on the same wavelength. So
do you agree or disagree with that assessment, I guess?
I mean, it's not exactly a controversial statement.
Yeah, but.
I mean, Nintendo's got that one more project they're working on, the Sushi Samurai, Sushi something. Mm-hmm. Sushi something I don't care about. because... A Sushi Striker, The Way of Sushido. Oh, man. I somehow just cared about it less.
Oh, bummer.
But which is strange, because I like video games and I like sushi.
Right, you think they would go together better.
But like, it's definitely I would be very surprised if any large project gets announced for the 3DS after this. I think Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon are the last big hurrah for the 3DS. And much like the Wii U, like Zelda was the game it went off on. You know, it was the last Nintendo first party title for the Wii U. But like, indies still keep coming out, and Just Dance games will probably come out for a couple more years. Right. You know, but like, it's done.
Right.
You know, the Wii U is done, and I think the 3DS is also entering that phase. I don't think that any game that's not already in production is going to be announced.
Okay.
Like, I don't think anybody's going like, okay, I got a great idea for a new game. Now, what platform should it be? 3DS exclusive. No.
If this was like Game Dev Story, it'd be in the 1th percentile, right?
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah. Man.
Game Dev Story. My game of the year again. every year's game of the year. No. But yeah. And you know what? You made your Rick and Morty statement. I'm going to make my 3DS statement.
Uh-oh.
Good riddance.
Oh. Oh. Oh.
I want it to hurry up and die so we get more Switch games.
Oh, it's good lord. Well, okay. Now, here's why I don't think that the death of the 3DS is necessarily a good thing.
Okay, why?
May I? Because
go.
What kept Nintendo aloft before the Wii came out and after the Wii U failed?
Trading cards.
No.
Yes. I do see what you're saying. Like, that's the thing about the Switch, is it's both a great idea for Nintendo, but it tremendous risk.
Yeah, they're cannibalizing their own sales, basically, because yeah, 20 million console sales sounds great until you realize that they're not going to have any sales of a handheld anymore. And the people like to discount that when they were talking about Nintendo's numbers. It's like, oh, Nintendo's doomed because it's the Wii U selling is much worse than PS 3 and then 4 and then the Xbox stuff. It's like, you know, what's Nintendo going to do? It's like, well, 3DS sales have been great. Since they, you know, figured out their price range and stuff, and now I worry that those forecasts are good, but what else is $300 these days? Is a PS4 Pro $300? Something's $300 still.
Something's $300.
Maybe the regular PS4 is $300 still.
I think it's $250. I don't know.
Yeah, see that's exactly the problem, and so if a Switch is $300 and it's still selling strong, then, you know, kudos to them. Good. I hope that keeps up. But it's not going to keep up indefinitely. So maybe 2018 they can sell 20 million, but what about 2019? If they don't have another tentpole, essentially, like, you know, they talked about the third pillar when the 3DS came out, which is kind of funny now that I think about it. But they're going to have one pillar. They're not going to have even two.
I hate to say it because I hate it, but they do have a second pillar.
Is it sex hotels? I don't what.
No, it's mobile.
Oh.
Did you forget about mobile?
Because
the shareholders sure haven't forgotten about it. Because
God.
Animal Crossing making bank, Fire Emblem Heroes making bank, Super Mario was really well received. It is not making bank, but Pokemon Go. They don't fully own that, but even the residuals, there's a lot of money, and you know they've got more games on the way for mobile. And now, I don't want mobile to do so well that you know that it splits dev resources. But right now, those games are smaller with smaller teams, and what's great about the Switch is you've got the teams that were doing handheld games making games for the Switch, and you've got the teams that were doing console games making games for the Switch. So you've been able to have basically one really big, really great game every month.
Right.
And like, look at Game of the Year awards from like almost any place. Now, Nintendo is no stranger to being on Game of the Year top 10 lists. Mm-hmm. They almost always are, even in the Wii U days. But it's usually one game, or at most two. But like, we're looking at it at a time where like 4 out of 10 titles are often like Nintendo ones, because they've been able to just put out this steady, and it's going to be even more next year, because now with the 3DS sunsetting, you know what I mean? They're going to be able to devote even more resources. So, I mean, we're going to be seeing. Now, that's where a lot of people are scared going into 2018. They're like, there's no way Nintendo can follow up a year like that. And that's why I think the January Direct is going to be very important.
Oh, sure.
Now, there's been no date announced for it yet. In fact, no one has even said that. But most people know that a January Direct's coming because of, unlikely, EA.
Eh?
Did you not hear about this? One of their internal documents got leaked, and it was talking about the game F-E? I don't know. I don't know how it's supposed to be pronounced.
Is it like Iron?
Maybe. Let's call it Iron. Anyway, I don't know exactly what, but it's a mid budget Nintendo title, kind of like an indie with EA's backing.
Okay.
But anyway, that's their second title on the Switch after FIFA, which sold unremarkably in its key markets. Although
right.
looks like it will surpass the PlayStation 4 version in Japan.
Oh wow,
which is crazy.
Oh hum.
It's selling really well. In fact, it sold more this week. By this, I mean the last week of December 2017. But it sold more this week than its launch week.
Oh.
Like, it's just been one of those steadily building things. But its main market is Europe, and it did not sell well there. It sold, like, 1% of FIFA sales. So...
Okay.
So it gives EA a good excuse to not support them in the future. But anyway...
Right, well, bummer, dude.
Just like... Oh, what? Mass Effect 3 didn't sell well on the Wii U? Well, not going to support that guy.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say, and this reminds me of our 2017 prediction. I think I was hoping that there'd be a Mass Effect Andromeda port, which, I mean, that was before.
Dodged a bullet there.
Yeah, well, you know, I still paid full price for the PS4 version that I've barely played, which was also part of that podcast that we recorded that no one has gotten to hear yet.
Oh yeah.
Boy. But I think at best, and I don't know, you know, Dragon Age team was a different team, so maybe there'll be a Dragon Age 4 and maybe it'll be out for the Switch. But I'm not holding my breath
for EA. But getting back to the whole reason I brought up EA in the first place.
Yes.
Is because this leaked document said that one of the ways they were going to advertise this game was to have it be one of the featured videos during the January Nintendo Direct.
Okay.
So it didn't say what the exact date was, and who knows, maybe that's just their assumption that there's going to be one in January, because there was last year, but most people think that there's going to be one and it's going to announce a lot of games.
Okay.
Now, what titles do we know are coming out for the Switch going forward? We know they're working on the next Pokemon game for it, but there's no guarantee that that's coming out next year.
Right.
We know that they're working on Metroid Prime 4. Oh my gosh, we lost that podcast too, where we talked... Okay, anyway.
Yeah.
We got to remember these things to talk about. You know, but that... You know, since we haven't even seen game footage yet, I'm not 100% sure on 2018. If Smash is a port of the Wii U version with some extra characters added, that could be a 2018. But if it's a brand new ground, you know, from the ground up Smash, that's not coming out next year.
I would like to know, honestly, because... I'm trying to decide if I should spend $40 to get all the downloadable content between the 3DS and Wii U versions. And if they're just going to release it again for $60 on the Switch, I ain't going to do that.
Wait.
I don't.
I would wait.
I'm afraid. I still have to buy. Now is a good time to mention that January, this month, is the last month you can buy anything on the Wii shop.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Oh my gosh, you're right. Oh my goodness.
If there's anything at all that you want to buy, we have maybe we need to release that episode sooner because we talk about that in the one that we recorded that was supposed to be out in November.
I think this one needs to come out first.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. We'll release that one next then. And then we'll just do it in backwards. You know, like ZFI people rock style. Right. It'll be fine.
All right. Yes. That's fine.
No prophylactics involved.
I'm my own grandpa. Anyway. Oh gosh. Have you gotten all the Homestar Runner episodes?
No, that's what I'm probably going to do as soon as we get off the podcast here. I've actually been buying a lot of things on my Switch, which we'll save for this redo of the Switch episode. But I sort of tapped myself out between the batteries and the online stuff I've been buying. But you know, since I won't have a chance next paycheck, I should probably just do this now.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. But you know what? Some of that stuff I'm just gonna have to let go.
Yeah. Right.
And that is why etched on my tombstone will be, "Here lies Vink. He still doesn't like digital." You know?
Right.
Like, I know that makes me sound very fuddy-duddy-ish. And
well, I mean, yeah, that, sure.
Yeah, just only that. but, like, Snipper Clips? Like, I bought that because it's so good.
Mm-hmm.
It's so good. But I'm going to buy it again because now there's a cartridge.
Uh-huh.
Because up until a few months ago, the case could have been made that perhaps Nintendo will leave its re-download servers available forever, but no.
Nope.
It's not. So, like, you'll take my cartridges out of my cold, dead hands. You know what I mean?
So, I guess it'll have to come to that.
I think we've been in agreement on everything so far.
Mm-hmm.
Let's introduce one that we might not be in agreement on.
Oh, pish-tosh. What could that possibly be?
I think that third parties are still not ready for Switch and that they won't be in 2018.
What? Listen. Wait. No. Doom. Wolfenstein 2.
Late port.
How late? Like, when did Wolfenstein 2 come out? It was recent.
Yeah, but when is it coming out for the Switch? We don't even have a release date.
Fine.
Doom was a year old by the time it came out. Now, don't get me wrong. And Skyrim's 6 years out. Well, a year. Because it's based off the special edition, though. So that came out, like, last year. So, but
fine.
But, like, Bethesda, wonderful. They're probably one of the strongest third parties supporting the system. You know, but
and I have complicated feelings about Bethesda. Please see, Prey 2.
Ah, yes, but when it comes down to it, I'm going to consider good third party support is when either original, like, exclusive titles are released for the Switch. That's one, or titles that are multi platform are released the same day on the Switch. And how many of those titles do we have so far? We've got FIFA.
Right.
And NBA 2K.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure there's more, but I can't even think.
I'll put it this way. Doom is $40 on PS4 and $60 on the Switch.
But, like, when it was released, the timing was not great, but it was on a Steam sale at that time. You could get it for $15, you know.
Okay.
And then, so, like, that just made it, like, you know, that made it more apparent. Apparently, it's still sold, not terrible, you know. I mean, like, it's sold in line with what one should expect for a late port at full price. You know,
right,
what I mean?
Right.
Apparently, it was a quite good port though, and. People who played it were very happy with it. The frame rate suffered definitely, but apparently it was still very playable and quite incredible that it was on a handheld in the first place. But if you're going to mainly play it on a TV, you know, people recommend the PlayStation 4 version. You know,
okay.
But that's the thing. Like, third parties are caught with their pants down right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people expected the Switch to fail. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, third parties were banking on it. You know what I mean? Like, Capcom's got to be looking at the sales and going, oh, no. Right. Because they moved Monster Hunter away from Nintendo, you know? And, you know, they... And, like, nobody had anything, like, slated for this system. And, like, there's definitely some panic ports coming out now. Like, people are just trying to get whatever they can on it. Like, anything that's, like, you know, like, Capcom did, like, Resident Evil Revelations and, you know, but, like, things that should have been ported to it haven't been. And I know we talk about this in that podcast that you'll hear in the future, but from the past. but I think that there's definitely going to be more third-party support in 2018, but I don't think the true... because games take a long time to develop. And even if people started making games... March of 2017, they went, oh, we should have Switch games. It's going to take a while before before quality efforts actually come out. Like, it is, I really think that third parties thought that this thing was going to tank, and they are now scrambling to get something on it.
Well, I mean, that seems fair.
I mean, you're supposed to disagree with me.
Well, okay. Yeah, I was incredulous at first.
Okay. I'll take your incredulousness as granted. So.
Okay.
But because of that, I think that is going to be, you know, not the Switch has enough first party efforts though that are well made enough that I don't think it's going to hurt the bottom line as much as it would for another system.
Okay.
Like, third-party titles not being on the Wii U were the death of it. Because the first-party efforts that Nintendo was releasing for that were great. Very solid. Splatoon, Mario 3D World, Bayonetta 2. All these things. Oh, Bayonetta 3. That's something that's coming.
Yeah, but that's, you know, Nintendo is almost a first-party game at this point.
Yeah. Yeah, I think 2018 is going to be strong, but I think it's going to be strong because it's going to be led primarily by first party titles.
Okay. Well, I mean, you know, the thing I want to also mention, which is something I think we talked about in that missing Switch episode, is how strong the indie support is. Like,
oh my goodness,
down to, you know, physical releases and shelf space for those titles, which never would have happened.
Yep.
Before.
It's just amazing to see indie titles getting a physical release that's not like limited run games, you know. It's
right.
Actually hitting like regular mainstream stores. And that's part of the third parties being caught with their pants down that's allowed this to happen. But for me, I think that's amazing. I think that's great. I mean, and I'm gonna continue to support those. I bought Cave Story,
mm-hmm.
Which is great. Have you played? We've talked about this before.
We have, but no one's heard it.
I know.
And maybe help us cut the fat out when we talk about it again.
Maybe. But anyway. Lots of good stuff. I know we're talking mainly about Nintendo, but what do you think about VR?
Yeah.
that about sums it up. No. This is there's finally some titles on VR that are worth playing.
What?
That are cool. Yeah. Resident Evil, Skyrim. Mm. Okay, I know they're ports, but like they're well done ports, you know.
What is appealing about Skyrim in VR? Someone explain it to me, please.
What is appealing about Skyrim?
Oh, dude. Did you read that Tumblr post about a guy
No.
who like tried to get a dog?
What?
Oh, God.
What?
This guy spent all this time, like, doing this dog side quest, and, like, okay. it went totally pear-shaped, and that's the exact kind of way that I play these kinds of games.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
Perfect for me, honestly.
Yeah.
Can you gather herbs? I mean, that would just do it right there. That's why I played Zelda for so long.
Oh, man, I gotta stop making fun of you, because I'm playing Xenoblade Chronicles right now, and Zelda and Xenoblade, like, both of these games are alike in the fact that I spent a long time looking for cooking ingredients.
Yes, right? Right.
But, and then I'm really enjoying doing it. So, anyway, yeah, but I think VR's cool concept, and I segue from the VR5.
Should we just move that here? More time travel shenanigans?
Yeah, we'll see what we can do. We'll see what we can do. but like, that's the VR that 90s me was so hyped about.
Right, right.
That current me doesn't care so much about it.
That's what I'm saying. Like, Lawnmower Man, the movie, yep. and, like, the ridiculous games. Like,
yeah.
that was... That... Yeah, yeah. 20 years ago, 25 years ago, yep. I would have been all over that. Like, back when there were only 16 colors in VR and, like, you know, yep. no anti-aliasing. Now, like, the 2D stuff is just so good. Snow Crash is how old now? I'm just saying the technology was way behind our imagination, and now the technology is catching up, and it's just kind of like, meh.
I mean, they're not doing the gloves yet, are they? They're not, like, you know.
Right. I mean, Demolition Man's still off in the future a bit, although Taco Bell is getting better.
I mean, you're still, oh God. The thing that VR needs to do is, like, I think the big thing is we still don't have, like, real motion. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're limited to the space that you're in your house, and I mean, we had our first VR fatality this week.
What?
Did you not hear about
No.
this? I think guy in Germany, maybe Russia, I don't remember, was playing a VR game, and he went through his glass coffee table.
Oh.
So, yeah. That is not a way to go.
Oh.
Yeah.
That Virtual Boy joke is not going to age well, is it?
No, it's not. Like, that's the thing, though. Like, virtual reality to become truly immersive requires a tremendous amount of investment and commitment.
Right.
You know, like, if you really want to do VR safely, you need kind of a room set aside for it.
Right.
You know? And, I mean, if we really want to get true VR motion put in things, eventually we're going to need things like treadmills and things like that.
Right.
You know? But who has the room for that, you know?
Right.
You
need holodecks, yo.
Holodecks, yeah, exactly. But, but that's I mean, the big issue with VR right now is, like, graphically, it's probably better than we imagined it would be.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, it's still not to the level of immersion. And frankly, at nearing my 40s, oh, I have to admit that now.
Mm-hmm. Same here.
At nearing my 40s, I think that the sensory the reality deprivation of VR is a total, you know, downside to the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
In that playing games right now is something I like to do with my family, with my kids, and the idea of disconnecting from real reality more so than I'm already doing with my smartphone. Ugh.
Right.
is not as appealing as it was when I was 15 years old and didn't have any of those type of responsibilities.
Mm-hmm.
So I think VR is coming, but like I don't know if it's ever going to be anything more than a niche, unless they can find a way to incorporate it into something we already have. Do you know what I mean?
Okay.
Like, if VR was a pair of normal weight sunglasses that hook to your iPhone.
Sure.
Maybe that's when the VR revolution's going to happen. But I don't know. But like, the prediction was right. Sony pushed it hard. Mm-hmm. Everybody pushed it hard. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I don't think necessarily it's the new Kinect, but I think VR is not ready for prime time yet.
Yeah.
Okay, you've got one.
I do. Do I have to? Okay.
Say it.
So, I mean, this is not really so much a prediction for 2018 as it's going to be a perennial, okay, this is never going to happen thing. But I mean, given you know what you said about earlier about Metroid Prime 4, we're never going to see a Metroid 5. That is a follow up to Metroid Fusion. Because for those who don't know, Metroid 1 and then 2 for the Game Boy, Super Metroid, which the title screen says Metroid 3, and then Metroid Fusion for the Game Boy Advance, those games were all one story told in a sequence.
Yeah.
And that's not, there's never been a follow-up to that game. It's about 16 years old now, or 15, something like that. And
where does Other M fit in?
Other
is
M
is its own thing.
It's an interquel, so it happens right after Metroid 2 and
before Super Metroid.
It basically rehashes a lot of the same themes, but with a lot more whininess and misogyny.
I enjoyed what I played of it. Team Ninja, along with Nintendo.
Right. So not Nintendo directly, because when Nintendo did it in house, they didn't have these problems.
Yeah.
But
they still
allowed it to be made, so you can't really make them blameless. But you know where I'm going with that is, you know, like I said, I'm playing Samus Returns, and it's a great mechanically. It's a fantastic advancement in 2D side-scrolling Metroid games. But, you know, story-wise, it's a rehash of the second one that perhaps not a lot of people played, even though it's available on the 3DS Virtual Console.
All right. So why do you think there's never going to be a sequel to it? Because we're in an era of never say never, because a lot of things that we never thought were going to come back have been coming back. So
Because, like, all of Metroid Prime's... All three of those are like post Metroid Prime 2.
Oh, you think because Metroid Prime is gonna steal all the thunder from 2D Metroids?
It's two things. I think because they're so obsessed with making things that take place after 2 and before or around Super Metroid. But also because I don't know, they might have written themselves into a corner with the story, because where can it go from there?
I see what you're saying.
For those who don't know, like, Fusion, it's not just a clever name. Like, Samus is genetically altered by this parasite that ends up saving her life.
Yeah.
And she's not going to be the same after that. And so, like, unless they want to stick with some kind of Fusion-like mechanic permanently, I guess they could find a way to separate her from...
It was all a dream.
Right. You know, there are ways, but the lack of interest has been so obvious ever since they released Metroid Prime, and it's like, oh, we're never going to see another one, because you know those two games were, or was it Metroid Prime 2 where it was compatible? I don't recall exactly.
All right.
You know, they did Zero Mission, they did Metroid. You know, now they've remade Metroid 2. They're going to have to remake Super Metroid at some point.
Well, I mean. How about this?
Mm-hmm. They're never going to remake Fusion. How about that? That's a prediction. Never remake Fusion.
I think they really need to. I think they really need to see how. Unfortunately, Samus Returns, despite getting critical praise, was not a great seller. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, the 2D Metroids do not sell as well as the 3D Metroids.
That's too bad.
And that's a problem. Despite the fact that fans like see them, like Super Metroid is always regarded as like one of the best games ever made by a lot of people who are into retro games.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you know, the fans are clamoring for more Metroid. I mean, not the fans, but the general populace.
Sure.
And the thing is, when Samus Returns was announced, you know, the Metroid fans went nuts. But it shows how small of a group that actually is, because the sales didn't, you know.
Sure.
It sold fairly poorly in Japan, where it's the only place I think we have actual sales. It made the top 10 in America, but dropped off pretty quickly after that. You know, so.
Sure.
I blame the platform.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is probably the last 3DS game I'm ever going to buy. And if it weren't on 3DS, I wouldn't have bought a 3DS game.
If that game had been a Switch game,
mm-hmm.
I would have bought it day one.
On the other hand, it would have lost something. I still contend that there's the backwards, whatever, the 3D-ishness was used to wonderful effect here.
Oh, no. I definitely, and no taking away that it's a great game, but instead of putting it on the new hotness, they put it on the old and bust.
Right. But, like, you know, I feel like a game like this would have been a waste on the Switch. Like, it was fun and maybe a good downloadable title for that, but the capabilities of the Switch should lend itself to different mechanics.
I understand. And, I mean, there's definitely reasons for doing it, but I think Nintendo themselves were a little blindsided by how quickly the Switch rose, and more so how fast the 3DS declined.
Oh.
I really think they thought the transition would be more gradual. Otherwise, they never would have announced Pokemon Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon for the 3DS, not the Switch. You know,
I see.
I really think that they thought they were going to keep up, the, you know, having two systems simultaneous well into this year. And I think, you know, they were pretty surprised by the adoption and the switchover.
No pun intended.
yes, exactly. But I don't know. I hold out hope that there's going to be a Metroid. You know what? You know, you made a pretty compelling argument, to tell you the truth. Because at this point, so few people would have played Fusion that unless they remake Fusion as well...
Mm-hmm.
I don't. Okay.
They don't have to anymore. They can just keep making these other sequels, and like they can deep six it like they did with Highlander 3 or Superman 3 or Spider-Man 3.
Wow. Third games are not. Or third movies, yeah.
Right.
Okay, how about this? Mm. They release the 2D Metroid collection that has all of these games on it.
Mm-hmm.
And then people can get caught up. I don't know. It depends. It depends.
I feel like they kind of have to remake Super Metroid at this point because now in these other games, like Zero Mission especially, and now even in Samus Returns, like she has such more interesting, amazing abilities than were showcased. Because, you know, Super Metroid abilities were really cool at the time, but they've been surpassed. So now they have to make Super Metroid over again just so that they can make it cool. And then maybe they can fix Metroid Fusion or make a different Metroid
form. Shots fired. I still think Super Metroid is the coolest of them.
It is. And everything responds to it, right? Everything is a variation of it, but...
Okay.
But at the same time... It's like, I know it's heresy to think about remaking that game. It is. Because what are they going to do? But, like, what they've done with Samus Returns, I think, is super interesting. So I guess I don't have to talk about this game anymore. Maybe I won't come back to it in the future. Maybe I've done my job already. But.
We've got to update it for the new generation. Add loot boxes.
Oh, God.
Anyway. that's another podcast.
Yeah.
And one we haven't recorded and lost. So there's an advantage. Good it's one we Lord. Haven't done yet. Or have.
Or...
All right. Anyway.
We're like the Tupac of podcasts, except for we're still alive. Or
are we? Okay. Okay.
I should go back to playing Oxenfree.
Oxenfree. Yeah.
Do you like movies? Well, you better, because we're going to talk about your favorite one for 10 minutes.
This isn't a movie. This is a f***ing documentary. This was my high school experience, except I did not get my period. But I'm still hopeful. And if it happens in the next 9 minutes and 52 seconds, I'll tell you.
This is 10 minutes about your favorite movie.
Listen to 10 minutes about your favorite movie every Monday on the Little Podcast Network. Okay. Should we switch gears then?
I think we should. I think we should. So, game of the year?
I kind of covered it in our Lost and maybe hopefully to be re-recorded Switch episode, but I basically only have really played Breath of the Wild, the newest Zelda game, on the Switch specifically. Not sure
wait,
that makes
wait,
a difference.
Wait.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You played Odyssey.
Yep.
Ooh. Ooh.
Here's the thing. Okay. Here's the thing. I like Odyssey. Yeah. I was addicted to it. I had so much fun. And, man, I'm sure I talked about it for that episode at length.
Yeah.
Because I had only played a little bit of it, and it was so nice and refreshing. And I don't know, maybe did I discuss it at all in the other one? Who knows? The point being, though, that excuse me. Once I did get to the end of the story, uh-huh. even though there's a lot to do and there's a lot of wonderful Easter eggs left, I'm done with Odyssey now.
How many moons you at?
300 and something.
Yeah, I gotta say, like, it's a mixture of having new games to play and stuff like
right.
that. But yeah,
that's
I
where
don't
I'm
think
at.
I'm gonna get I might get up to the number of moons to unlock the last, you know, area.
Because, mm-hmm.
you know, once you get, what is it, 250 moons or something, it says, get 250 more, you know, and I'm just like,
right.
oh, that seems
right.
daunting.
Well, I mean, go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. I'm enjoying going around and getting all the costumes. I enjoy
mm-hmm.
that.
Yeah.
And my daughters love for me to get the little local currency coin so I can put stickers on the Odyssey.
Mm-hmm.
They like that. And
mm-hmm.
I'll probably continue to do that for a while. But I don't see myself getting a 100% clear on this.
No. Basically, when I stopped collecting moons and, you know, when I put the game down finally, I realized I was kind of done with it. And
yeah, I can see that.
I'll come back to it once in a while. But yeah, I have more pressing gaming concerns. So, but I do really feel like it is a perfect Mario game. And if it weren't for the fact that it was released on the 32nd anniversary of Super Mario Brothers, and that we didn't have Mario Maker already, I call it the perfect 30th anniversary game, possibly even a perfect final Mario game.
Ooh,
right?
Really?
I don't know what they can do. There's so much nostalgia packed in. There's so many references. You know, I'm sure they'll think of something, but like I've wanted a game that I've enjoyed as much as Mario 64 for the last 20 years, and I'm good now.
Mario 128.
On the other hand, like there was so much to do in Zelda. There was so much to do. There's still so much I want to do. And it's such an interesting world, such an interesting premise that like, you know, you lose and you have to win again.
Yeah.
And like it's sort of a way of encapsulating the entire concept of, you know, a multi-generational Zelda type thing without having to rely on, because when you do that, you kind of limit the next game in the series, right?
Yeah, of course.
So they've never really cared about continuity in that respect.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can do that continuity within one game, that's a really good way to get the idea across without making it entirely mystical. Like, it's a very technological bent on what used to be a pure fantasy game.
And
I like that. So,
yeah.
So, it's so Skyrim-y / Dragon Age-y / whatever. Just the fact that you can see something and say, I want to go to there, and then you can go to there.
I think that has so been my year. I have completely come around on open world games.
Right.
I used to criticize you for playing open world games.
I know.
lifeless and boring. Because I played some open world games. Oblivion. I got bored with, mm-hmm. Things like that. And to tell you the truth, that was one of the things that almost made me not buy the new Zelda.
Okay.
Because I'm like, especially the early trailers, which didn't have any towns in it and everything. It looked right. Pretty lifeless.
Right.
But, okay. My game of the year. This, every year when we talk about game of the year, I always have a standout game that's really easy. This year was hard. I think the most important game that came out this year was Zelda Breath of the Wild.
Okay, interesting. Okay.
And so I think because that is setting the bar of what, I think it represents a breath of a fresh air for old series. And it ushered in this thing where we can have a more open Mario.
Yeah.
And things like that. And for getting the system into people's hands, mm-hmm. it's a killer app.
Mm-hmm.
Just absolute. Well, for the United States, killer app in Japan is Splatoon 2, which has outsold Breath of the Wild here 2-1.
Oh man, so fun!
But Breath of the Wild is almost ready. If you include the Wii U version. Is going to clear 1 million units sold in Japan. The last console one to do that was Ocarina of Time.
Wow.
And predictions are that if you combine both of the versions here in Japan, it could become the best-selling Zelda ever. The best-selling Zelda right now is the first one in Japan. And that was on the disc system.
Yeah, it's so
Zelda's
weird.
Not as big in Japan. Yeah,
it's so weird that that's the case to me. But I keep forgetting that.
But it's already outsold every 3D Zelda except for Ocarina of Time. It's outsold sure. Twilight Princess. It's and it's still was on the top 10 this week still.
Dang.
For sales and normally. There's a hardcore base of Zelda fans in Japan, mm-hmm. and they'll buy it on day one, and then it drops off the charts. I mean, it stays for a little while, but but it's been in. It has not. This game has not left the top 20 since it came out.
That's great.
It lingers at the bottom sometimes, but that is absolutely fantastic for a Zelda title, and it's made Zelda. Important in Japan again, but the title that everyone wants for the Switch is Splatoon 2 in Japan. That is at a level beyond gaming. It's become a cultural phenomenon here,
and I can totally see that because man, I don't remember if this was in our Lost Switch episode or the one we haven't released yet.
Might be,
but. Yeah, this is the second, not including Super Bomberman R. This is the second title I bought for my Switch, and I got sucked into it in a way that I didn't for the first Splatoon. Like my kids are old enough now where they can play with each other and even play online and do well, even can do decently well. But they can play that version together, and I can play my version. And it's been so much fun, and I'm sad for the day that it won't be playable anymore, except for locally, I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah.
But I will say that Splatoon's going to keep up for a while. There'll be a Splatoon 3.
Right.
And, you know,
right.
Now, my thoughts on Splatoon are strange because I played the Wii U one way more.
Sure. Okay.
Way more. And it was easily my game of the year 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Was it 2 years ago? 2 years ago, I think. But anyway, it was hands down, you know, and it was a very important game. And the sequel is probably better in every way.
Mm-hmm.
But I never got into it. But it doesn't matter, though, because my daughter got into it enough for the whole family. And she loves that game. Just adores it. Like, so I think it's an important game, but it's not my top game of this year.
What? Oh, wow.
That shows how many good games came out this year. It really does. And Mario Odyssey, during the time I was playing it, I was sure it was my game of the year.
God,
because
I'm in suspense.
Those early hours of playing it, the early hours of playing it, pure joy.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right. After you get all the moons, there's not as much reason to come back to it.
I mean, there is, but, like, you know, you can't recapture that high at that point.
But like, the oh my gosh, where am I going to go next?
Right.
Instead
right. It's
of...
It's gone.
Oh, where have I not mined coins as much? You know?
Right.
You know? You know, and some of those moons are cheap. It's like, how many moons can you buy at one store? Like, 10? You know, it's like... yeah.
I do wish I had drawn it out a little bit more.
But... Yeah, I know. I wish I'd spent more time, but like I was playing it with my kids watching, and they're like, "Where are we gonna go next?
Yeah.
We gotta get Peach."
Yeah.
But anyway, I loved it. It was a great game, but like now that I'm done with it, I'm like, nah. You know, Zelda's a more important game, and like Zelda is also a bigger game, and there's more stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but like the pure joy of the hours I spent with Mario is probably the best game I've played, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Controversial choice, my game of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Xenoblade 2.
Oh. Oh,
Xenoblade
no.
Chronicles 2.
Do you know why? Oh no.
Tell me why. Oh no.
Why? Oh no. Everyone I have heard talk about this game has loved it. You included.
Yep.
You first, of
yep.
course.
Yep.
And, like, you know, I'm sure I would love it, too, if I hadn't made the mistake of only buying you a copy of the Wii version back in the day.
Well, that's a very easy problem to rectify, Sean.
Oh.
Because you can download the first Xenoblade from the Wii U.
But
it's $20.
But that's not the problem. That's not the problem.
Okay, what's the problem?
The problem is the time and the interest. And it's like here's the thing, as I'm sure I would like it if I were to play it. So I guess sell me.
Yep.
Convince me I'm wrong that I should make this a priority.
Okay. First of all, Xenoblade Chronicles, the first one, is a fantastic game, a classic. Definitely, definitely a good game, and it's definitely a game you should play. But I say skip it.
Ooh.
And then Xenoblade Chronicles X I adored it for the exploration. Because at the time there was nothing like that. But now that you have Zelda Breath of the Wild, the exploration's just as good in that. So the main hook of that game, because it wasn't very story heavy. So the main hook of that game, the exploration, you will be less impressed with now. So
okay.
Skip that one
okay.
too. And just start playing Xenoblade Chronicles 2.
Okay.
They are story connected in the same way Final Fantasy games are story connected, in that they share a few same locations, items, you know, systems, but that they don't, you don't need to have played the previous game. It is a game that, since you have not played the previous ones, you will go into the battle system going,
ah! All right.
Because it's one of the more complicated, convoluted battle systems ever. But push through it, and you'll find that it's also one of the deepest and most rewarding battle systems ever.
Interesting. Okay. I mean,
but it is not intuitive. It is not intuitive.
Was it you or was it Ben that turned me on to Grandia 2?
It could have been either of us because we were both playing it around the same time and we both had very similar thoughts.
Okay. Because the battle system in that game, I was like, oh, like it made me actually want to go around and like have encounters with enemies.
Yeah. I'm playing Xenoblade 2 right now, and I get disappointed when I can beat an enemy too quickly because that means I wasn't able to string my combos.
Oh no.
You know what I mean? Like I'm like, oh. I'm like, sometimes I'll be like, yeah. But that's what's nice is you can actually choose whether or not to level up in the game. Your experience points go into like a level bank.
What?
So if you don't want to be over, when you stay at an inn, they find all the experience points that you've gained so far, and then they like say, do you want to level up right now? Or would you like to level? You have enough experience right now to go from level 20 to level 25. But if you want, you can go to level 23. You've banked the points, so you don't have to. So you don't have to over level yourself if you want to keep that challenge going. It's brilliant.
Oh. Wow.
It's really really smart. So if you are struggling with battles, yeah. Just take all of your experience and you know use it right away. But if you want to keep that challenge up, you can keep yourself under leveled.
I don't even know what to say. That sounds great.
Story is good. I mean, controversial costume choices. I mean that Rex looks stupid. He's the main character. He looks dumb. Right. And Pyra, despite being a very cool character in characterization, story, dialogue, very good, is dressed like a hooker. You know, I mean,
it's Japan.
And that's, that is a problem that unfortunately I think has turned a lot of people off to what is a very good game. Mm. And do I wish that they had given the option to change costumes so you don't look so, I'll say it again, stupid. Yes. That's one of the things I liked about Xenoblade Chronicles X is you could dress however you wanted.
Mm-hmm.
It was very cool. But, and yes, the plot does have a lot of 90s anime tropes. But I liked 90s anime. So,
right.
I mean, it's... I'm about halfway through it, right? No. I just finished chapter 4 of 10. And I hope that wasn't a spoiler. That's pretty.
No, I don't know what that means. Okay,
but I'm about 50 hours into it, and could have gone faster, definitely. But I like all the, but like some of the side quests are really fun, and you build up a party that has like all these blade characters, and you've got at a while you're like, oh my gosh, I can't level up all of these because I've got so many of them. Who do I choose in my party? Well, the ones you're not using, you can send off on quests to do.
Oh.
Or some of the side quests are like ridiculously complicated.
Hmm.
So you can just send a party of AI characters to go do it for you.
Oh.
And you still get the experience and stuff. It just takes time, you know. Like, nice. There's so many things the game does well, but as I said, it's an intensely convoluted battle system that like you'd understand more if you played a previous Xenoblade game because they're similar, but actually they streamline some parts quite a bit to go with the whole Switch controls, okay, which I really love. But at the same time, they're like, let's add like 10 more systems, you know.
I want to make sure I understand something you said correctly.
Yeah.
So like in Dragon Age Inquisition, there's like this world map, and there's these missions you can do in the world map where you do send off one of your normal. NPC party members, that makes sense. It's people like who are in your organization, basically, who you can't ever bring on the missions, but it's their job to do these side missions for you. Now, you don't ever have the option to do them yourself. It's just like a story type thing, and they come back with like a report of what happened. Now, it sounds like what you're telling me is that rather than doing that, it's similar in idea, but it's something that you could play yourself, but you don't have to.
I think some of the missions are purely that they're, but like some of them, like for example, there was this sequence where I was going, I don't want to give any spoilers, but there was an event that was necessary for the story that involved guarding these barrels. I think that's vague enough,
okay.
Or whatever. And like, if I had, I could have switched out my characters or switched out my abilities to be able to do it myself.
Mm-hmm.
But I could also send a bunch of my blades to go do it for me. Well, I did something else, and then I could come back and continue with the story.
Okay.
Because it would have been a pain for me to do. So the game gave me the option to not do it, but still do it. Does that?
Sure. Yeah. Okay. I like that then. If that's, yeah.
I think what I need to explain is you have main characters who are in your party, but you also have blades, which are like support characters. You see, the main characters are drivers, and they can control up to 3 blades. Some of those blades stay with you the whole game because they're story dependent, okay. But other ones have their own side stories, but like you can switch them out. There's so many to get, and you don't need to get them all.
Okay.
There's no net, but if you want to see the entire story, you'll need to get them all. But like, but no. But it's okay because it the story is very beatable without unlocking very many of them at all.
Okay.
But as I said, I'm loving this game so much. This one I might complete. like I'll story complete all the games I'm playing right now, but like this is the one I might like. I think 100%ing it is maybe wrong, but I think I'm gonna probably get all of the blades.
Okay.
I'm intending to do that. I don't know how many hundreds of hours it's gonna take me, but I love it so much I don't care.
Oh no.
It looks a little janky, the game, because it looks like it might have been a bit rushed to get it out by this year, to get it out by Christmas. But like there's a season pass already, which is something I still am of two minds of.
Sure.
But whenever they're releasing extra content for that, they've been kind of fixing up some things from the vanilla version as well.
Okay,
so,
that's good to know. So by the time like I already, get to it, it'll be like it's the perfect version.
Already they've made the map way more intuitive, way better.
Okay.
They fixed that or whatever. And like in the next one, you know, they're going to introduce some free content coming as well. Like, so that's nice. Yes, you should play the game. You should definitely play Xenoblade 2, but finish Zelda first.
Okay.
Because that's my problem. Is I didn't finish Zelda yet, and I went to Xenoblade 2, and now I think I'm going to beat Xenoblade 2 before I beat Zelda.
Oh, jeez.
But they're very different types of games, but they both got that open world with all kinds of things you want to check out.
Sure.
And Xenoblade has way more stuff to check out than Zelda.
Oh, boy. Okay.
But I don't know. I would say it's definitely worth playing, and I haven't beat it yet, so calling it my game of the year is hard, and I've only had it about 3 weeks now.
Sure.
But it's a game that I can't stop thinking about when I'm not playing it.
Okay.
And it's a game that I will be playing with immediately after this podcast finishes. But I don't think Xenoblade 2 should be Famicom Dojo's Game of the Year. I think Famicom Dojo's Game of the Year is Zelda Breath of the Wild.
Okay.
But my personal Game of the Year is
Xenoblade
Chronicles. Well, yeah. I mean, that's the least controversial game you can choose to be your Game of the Year. Although, hey, how about that Oxenfree? Right?
Oh, man. I mean...
Right?
I mean, I'm enjoying it. I'll say that much. Something about it. I'll wait until I'm done with it. Then I'll have more complete
thoughts. I think we should. Yeah, do that as a future retro. Let's both get to the end of it.
Okay.
Is once enough? Because this, I can already tell this is a game that is made for multiple playthroughs.
Oh, sure. Well, yeah, I'm not. Right, because there's a little bit of branching story, but I think you end up in the same place more or less. But there are things where you can make a decision.
I don't know,
yeah, that's a great point. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
I think your character. I mean, I'm as I said, I'm only an hour into it, but like, I really think that the decisions you make early on are going to affect later games.
Okay, so. that's a good point. Like, there's something I haven't found out yet, which is I did not succeed well. At something that I had to do, which I don't want to tell you anything about. I was 1-3 on it. And it, in the immediate term, it didn't appear to have any consequences. But then something happened which made me think, oh, maybe I did goof something up there.
Yep.
And I haven't seen that part of it through yet. And again, not to spoil anything, just there was one. Yeah, there are decisions you can make that, yes. I'll just say that.
Okay. Well, so let's leave it at that for now. But okay. Let's say we're going to be talking about Oxenfree in a future podcast. So if you haven't played it, get on that.
Another prediction.
Then you can discuss it with us. And it's available for everything. So don't worry if you don't have a Switch. It's on PC. I think it's on iPhone even. So, like, there's lots of ways to play it and probably cheaper than the Switch version as well. Get on that if you'd like to know what we're talking about. Otherwise, we'll give you a little warning and you can skip past that part.
We should say, I don't know if it's still the case, but we bought it for a $5 sale. Maybe by the time that this podcast comes out, it won't be.
I don't think
$5.
So, yeah,
but I mean, it's 20 normally, and I can tell you right now, just from the first 15 minutes I played, that it would have been worth 20.
Ooh.
Mm.
Ooh. Mm. Nice. Anyway. So we'll talk about that later. But okay, let's go into our resolutions.
Quick prediction.
Prediction. Go ahead.
I think we'll talk about that on our fifth recorded episode.
Okay.
But maybe fourth release. We'll see.
I hate this podcast.
To train your game, head over to our show notes at famicomdojo.tv/podcast for additional pictures, video, and bonus audio for this episode. Call us at 608-492-1923 to leave a voicemail for our Inchmail episodes, or send us a comment on Facebook or Twitter at Famicom Dojo. Consider leaving us a 5-star review on iTunes, and be sure to subscribe to Famicom Dojo on YouTube for our latest videos about retro, import gaming, and more.
Okay, resolutions. My resolution.
Go.
I'm going to beat more games.
How many more games?
I'm going to beat... All right.
Minimum threshold.
This year I bought... Okay, not counting retro. This year I bought 22 games.
Okay.
If you count retro, it's probably like 200, but... I have a problem, Sean. I have a problem.
Do you have a problem or an awesome?
It's an awesome problem.
Exactly.
But I think I beat 4 games this year. So that's a bad ratio. So I'm going. My New Year's resolution is to, people have been telling me that what I should do is. You can only buy a new game if you've beat one of your old ones.
Mm-hmm.
That ain't going to happen.
Yeah.
But from now on, I'm only going to buy 2 more games after I've beat one.
Okay.
That's my resolution. That's my resolution.
Okay. Is that...
I do have a problem.
Is that better?
It's much... No, because my ratio right now is probably like 5-1.
Oh, okay.
So, for example, For example, there's a lot of eShop sales going on right now, and I saw a lot of games, but I'm like, nope, I'm not gonna. I'm gonna beat Xenoblade first, and then I'm gonna beat Zelda. Then I'll look into them. Yeah,
I got
Oxenfree. I'm gonna beat that one too. But that's a shorter game, so that should be not a big problem.
I mean, it feels like it's gonna be shorter.
Yeah.
Okay. That's not much of a problem for me because I already feel incredibly guilty about my pile of shame, so much so that, you know, there's an entire subgenre of Famicom Dojo dedicated to it.
Yes.
So, and not to mention that the pile can't grow too large or I'll never finish that series. So there you go. Yep. There's motivation right there not to add too many things to it.
Yep.
I mean, so speaking of which, that goes into my resolution, is that now that I've gotten the Mario game that I've wanted forever and have sort of not played a lot of the ones in between Mario 64 and Mario Odyssey, I'm going to go back and play those games. I'm going to finish them. I'll finish Mario Sunshine and I'll finish... Mario Galaxy. And as a bonus, I hope to stream part of the process.
Oh, cool. I want to go back and play Mario 64 after playing Odyssey for obvious reasons.
Obvious to those who have played.
Obvious to those who have played. This is one of the things I wanted to talk about in that past future podcast.
Yes.
But you hadn't gotten to that point yet.
Maybe we'll be able to next time.
Okay, we'll talk about that in the future. But yeah, I'll agree. Streaming, that's very cool. Resolution, this year will bring our new season of Famicom Dojo, a new seasonal season. Mm-hmm. We're definitely going to do that. I intend to keep the podcast going this year.
Yes. So
that's a resolution.
Yeah. That's one of the things that we've like deliberately designed around is that in order to avoid burnout and make sure that we can do this or at least keep it up in a reasonable level while we are doing videos is that we're only going to release these once every 2 weeks. So a maximum of 26 episodes of the podcast per year.
Now I know that sounds bad, but let's compare it to 2017. Right. So, and as a bonus, that means we have more time to work on the videos too. So, you know, because it's usually very unbalanced. We'll do podcasts straight for, you know, every week for 5 months and then nothing for 3 months and, you know.
Right.
So.
Right.
I think I hope that'll strike a nice balance. We'll see how the experiment works.
And the other thing too is that, you know, we're. This isn't a representative sample of what the updated format is going to be like. It's going to be similar to this. You know, we'll do our main topic. We'll talk about Future Retro and Pile of Shame. Or we might switch it out for something different. Like, you know, we did our resolutions and Game of the Year discussions this time. Because we want to play around with it. We want to be able to be versatile and, you know, try out different segments and everything. So as much as we like Future Retro, Pile of Shame... since I guess we have video outlets for that now, we don't have to do it all the time. So I look forward to seeing what other kinds of ideas we throw out there for that format going forward. But we're also going to pull in one of my favorite things from the Denchi Mail segments, which we're going to pull Denchi Mail questions into the main podcast too. But I encourage everyone to send us their haikus because I love that. I love that. It's a little thing.
Yep.
I've already gotten the audio assets for that, you know, obviously, because you've heard this episode. But I've already gotten all that figured out. I just got to drop in the haikus. So please send them to us. If you haven't heard any of them yet, listen to just about any Denchi Mail episode. Go to the website, famicomdojo.tv/podcast, and there's a way to get to the Denchi Mail stuff directly from there.
And something we've been talking about for a while, but we want to have more guests.
Yes.
On the podcast.
Yes. We can bring back guests that you liked. We can find new guests. We can find more ambitious guests. I mean, ones that would be ambitious for us to get, not ones who are ambitious themselves because they wouldn't probably choose us as their podcast destination.
That's true. Anyone with ambition is beyond our reach. Sorry to everyone who will be a guest this year for the premeditated dig. It's great to be back, and fingers crossed this one actually
it's released.
The Famicom Dojo Video Game Podcast is produced every week by That's Orange LLC. Our theme songs were written and performed by the Amari Tones. Find them on iTunes and at AmariTones.net. Pixel art by Lewis Lloyd Judson at illustrations.co.uk. Find us at famicomdojo.tv/podcast, iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or wherever RSS feeds are downloaded.
Famicom Dojo.
Man, do you know how hard it was to not make a Back to the Future reference that entire time? I should have made that a New Year's resolution.
You almost did it. You almost did it. Now you,
all right, 2019. Back to the...